Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Transportation Finance and Policy Conference Committee for House File 1684. And we will be taking up seven provisions today and several amendments to those provisions. I'm going to first ask Mr. Dodge to call the roll. I know if there are any members missing, we will note for the record when they are present, but we will call the roll because we are going to take some votes today. And so, Mr. Dodge.
Chair Hornstein.
Present.
Hornstein, present. Chair Newman.
Present.
Newman, present. Senator Begum.
Present.
Begum, present. Representative Elkins.
Present.
Elkins, present. Representative Frederick?
Present.
Frederick, present. Senator Howe?
Present.
Howe, present. Senator Jasinski?
Senator Jasinski is here.
Jasinski, present. Representative Cagle?
Present.
Cagle, present. Senator Osmick? Senator Osmick? Representative Petersburg?
Petersburg present.
Petersburg present. There is a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Dodge. And again, when other members arrive, we will note that for the record. Senator Chairman Newman, did you have any opening thoughts or comments you wanted to share? I have a couple brief ones and then we can dive right into the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, I don't think so. I think that we've got our agenda pretty well set for today that Chair Hornstein and I have been working on. We might as well get after it. Thank you.
Absolutely, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll do that. And I just wanted to note that Chairman Newman and I continued our very productive conversations over the weekend. Spoke both yesterday and today, as well as Saturday. And these are items that we agreed to. And of course, there's a number of other items that are on our agenda that we've had extensive conversations about that are not on the agenda for today. But I did want members to know, in case you're wondering, that Chairman Newman and I have discussed at length a number of provisions that we are confident there'll be agreement on. They're just not on the agenda today. A number of the provisions related to bike policy, for example, deputy registrars, a number of other items related to MnDOT and DVS. We've also been in conversation with, and we anticipate those conversations continuing through the week. And we want to set things up so that we've had at least some preliminary work done on budget items prior to when we get our budget targets. There's still a little uncertainty about when that will take place. But wanted to thank Chairman Newman for those ongoing discussions, and that we do want to position the conference committee to be ready when ready to go once we get targets on some of those more important provisions that are yet to be determined. So with that, members, let's, as Chair Newman said, let's get at it. Let's dive right into this agenda. And what we're going to do is, as we have done previously, I'll someone make a motion, and then we will Mr. Burris or Ms. Stengel, or a combination thereof, explain the provision before us, and then we'll have discussion and take votes.
And Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Chair Newman.
I just wanted to indicate, Mr. Chairman, to our members that, you know, when Chair Hornstein is calling for a motion to adopt a provision, I'm kind of hanging back a little bit to give other members an opportunity to make a motion if you wish. So if you notice a little bit of a pause, that's the reason for it. I'm just waiting to see if a member of the conference committee wishes to make that motion. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Chairman Newman. Thanks for that clarification as well. So our first item is relates to this is a house only provision, and you will find it in sections 4, 11, and 12, 18, 20, and 26, and on in the side by side in the reference pages R68, R74, R75, R76, and R80. Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair and members, good afternoon. These sections are in house only language. It's Article 5, series of sections relating to bicycles. And this isn't all of the bicycle provisions. It's a subset that addresses definitions, revising definitions, centralizing the location of some of the terms so that they're all moved to be in the chapter on motor vehicle regulations, traffic regulations. And then there's also a clarification that goes along with one of the definition changes regarding bicycle lanes being part of the roadway.
Okay, members. Again, these are, I think, some of the less controversial bike provisions that, again, simply clarify definitions. Is there a motion to adopt these provisions?
Mr. Chairman, before we go with the motion, perhaps Mr. Burris or Ms. Stengel on R80, I think it's section 26. And I'm not finding that on my list.
Mr. Burris.
And if I could have just a moment, Mr. Chairman, I'll get to that.
Okay.
But maybe Mr. Burris could help us with what is covered on that.
Mr. Chair, Senator Newman, so on R80 on the side-by-side House Section 26, that is a reviser instruction. It would direct the reviser of statutes to recodify one of the definitions to move from the general roads chapter, Chapter 160, to move it into Chapter 169, which is where the other bicycle and bicycle related terms are being revised and centralized.
Chair Newman.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Burris. Yeah, I do see that now. I missed it the first go around. That's fine with me.
Okay. That's okay. Thank you. And we'll have some additional discussion. I just wanted to, if needed, I wanted to see if we, it sounds like that Representative Elkins was willing to make that motion.
Yep, Representative Mr. Chair, Elkins. If it's a House only provision, I'm happy making the motion to however you and Chair Newman want to do this, however you two want to.
It is kind of nice. You know what? It is very nice to have a senator do that. So why don't we make this the Bingham motion then? Okay. So to the Bingham motion, is there discussion? And I know Representative Elkins is very passionate about bikes, and he'll have an opportunity, I think, in the future on that. Okay, so then to the Elkins motion, I don't see any further discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, the motion prevails. Thank you. I'm going to thank both Senator Bingham and Representative Elkins here. Okay. Our next item is line 2. And this this relates to remote license application. We have had some discussion about this. There is an amendment. But for members, this is R111 and R114. It is also a house only provision. You can find it in Article 6, 4246. So that provision actually has been adopted. And so what we would like to do is amend it with an A55 amendment. And the A55 amendment expands the provision to have a remote process for people serving in the military and Peace Corps. The core of the provision that we have already adopted authorizes remote renewal reinstatement of a driver's license or ID when the applicant is a federal employee assigned to the Foreign Service outside of the United States. And so this also applies to the Peace Corps. So the A55 amendment, if you could explain that Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair and members, I think you about covered it. The House section that this amends had been previously adopted by the conference committee, and it provides for reissuance or renewal of a driver's license or identification card without needing to do it in person. And so it lays out some requirements around how that process would work. And currently, what was adopted by the conference committee provides this for Foreign Service officers and various family members. And the amendment would broaden the eligibility to include members and family of those who are serving in active military service as well as the Peace Corps.
Thank you. And I want to thank the Senate for bringing this amendment. Is there a motion, and then we'll have discussion? So what we're doing, members, the motion would be to adopt the A55 amendment. Mr. Burris, would we then vote on the entire, we would have to vote on the entire provision again, or just wanted some direction on that?
Mr. Chair, I think adoption of the amendment would be sufficient since the conference committee had already adopted the underlying language. I think that would be clear enough to members and staff that the entirety as amended would be included in the conference committee report.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Right, well, yes. Is that, Senator Howe, nice to see you, and thank you. This might have been something you brought to our attention. So.
Well, probably it isn't, but it definitely affects an area that's near and dear to my heart. The question I have is, in item number 4, it does not clarify that the spouse, the domestic partner, or the dependent under the age of 26 have to be residing outside the United States or outside the state. So this applies to those folks that could be still living in this state and they could still use this process. If that's what I'm understanding, correct?
Thank you, Senator Howe. I guess, again, this would be for Mr. Burris, I believe, or Ms. Stengel. Either one of you could respond to Senator Howe's question.
Mr. Chair, I'm just taking a look at that question. If we could maybe pause just for a sec to review the language.
I'm not saying I have a problem with it, but I think that we have to be clear on our intent, Mr. Chair.
No, Senator Howe, I appreciate the question, and I think it would be helpful. Our staff is looking through this. I did want to welcome Senator Osmek and note that he is present.
Mr. Chair, I believe Senator Howe raises a valid point in that the language as the amendment reads now would not set a requirement that the family members are also outside of Minnesota. So they could potentially be still in Minnesota, but the remote process would be available. So it would probably look at reworking the amendment if the conference committee wanted to restrict that further or set a requirement that anyone using this process would have to, at that point, be outside of Minnesota.
Thank you, Mr. Burza. Very good catch, Senator Howe. I think Senator Jasinski has his hand up. Senator Jasinski?
No, Mr. Chair, I did not have my hand up. Sorry.
Oh, you know what? I think it was my cursor did something funny. Okay, sorry about that. Okay. All right. Well, members, and I'll ask for a little advice from Chair Newman. Do you think we should set this one aside to clarify this question? We could amend it perhaps now orally as well.
I'm really not too sure what the members would want to do with this regarding Senator Howe's question. I don't have any objection to talking about it now and see if we can orally amend it, or we can set it aside because we've got a number of other amendments that we have to talk about further. Maybe we could let members weigh in on the issue. We got people in the Peace Corps and people in the military is what is at issue here. And the question then becomes whether or not their spouse's domestic partner, et cetera, should have available to them the remote ability if they're not outside of the United States. And for my purposes, I would say, no, I don't think they should. I think that they should have to be outside in order to avail themselves of the remote ability, but I'd like to hear what members have to say.
All right, and thank you, Chair, and I just want to make sure that that ability was guaranteed in our existing language, at least that the remote process would be available to the military and the Peace Corps. That's really the bottom line here, if they are outside of Minnesota.
That's we'll really have the gist of it, yes.
Correct. So we'll have Representative Petersburg and Senator Bingham.
No, I think I agree with you. I think the intent was to allow for those that are outside and can't make it back to Minnesota would have the opportunity to renew their license. And if Mr. Burris or Ms. Stengel has the ability to do an oral amendment, I think we should take care of it right now and just get it taken care of. That's my thought.
All right. Thank you for that, Representative Petersburg. If it can be done, definitely. Senator Bingham.
Yeah, I just wanted to concur. I agree with Chair Newman and Representative Petersburg on this. I think that was the original intent, and coming out of conference, we should probably uphold that intent, you know, if that's what it was. So we should probably fix it with an oral amendment.
Okay, well, we could, I don't know if you, Mr. Burris or Ms. Stengel would have the ability to suggest a quick oral amendment. If you need more time,
Mr.
we could
Chairman,
certainly do that.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Chair Newman.
I think Ms. Stengel may have some thoughts on this. You know, as these Zoom meetings, remote meetings go, texts, of course, are being exchanged. So perhaps we could hear from Ms. Stengel.
Ms. Stengel. Thank you, Chair Newman. Ms. Stengel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. A related issue in a different section of the bill. As members recall, we adopted a provision in conference earlier that's on page R120, and this has to do with the extension of expiration dates for driver's licenses for people serving in the military, Peace Corps, and serving in foreign service. And it includes the same language that we're talking about now in the other section about the spouse, domestic partner, or dependent under the age of 26 of a person in clause 1, 2, or 3, that language is identical. So if we're talking about making sure that these people are living outside of the state, the conference committee may also want to consider changing that in House Section 54 on page R120, just to be consistent.
Thank you, Ms. Stengel. That was a good catch, too. Okay. So I think the oral amendment should, for consistency's sake, also include that. Senator Osmek.
Mr. Chair, now we found an obvious additional issue that Ms. Stengel has brought forward. Nothing says loving like writing it down on paper, and I don't see a reason why we're going to pass this bill today. I would suggest that we lay this over, make sure we get it right, and put it in with an amendment tomorrow or the next day.
Thank you, Senator Osmek. I agree with you. I think if we were sitting around a horseshoe-shaped table, normally something could be written up and distributed, but it would be difficult to do that right now. So I'm going to take Senator Osmek's advice, and we'll temporarily lay this over. If we can get some text later in this meeting, or we could put it aside for Wednesday, I'll just lay it over for now. We can either return to it or take it up on our next meeting.
Well,
Senator Osmek, or I'm sorry, Senator Howe.
You know, Mr. Chair, if maybe all we'd have to do is say the spouse, domestic partner, or dependent under the age of 26 who accompanies a person in clause 1, 2, or 3, would that fix it? Because they're usually either coming from military thought process, it's either an accompanied tour or an unaccompanied tour. So if it's an accompanied tour, if that person is an accompanied that a person in clause 1, 2, or 3, they would have to be living outside the United States or outside the state of Minnesota.
Mr. Chairman.
Chair Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Chair Hornstein and Senator Osmek. I would suggest that we lay this over. Senator Howe, as a suggestion, maybe be in contact with Ms. Stengel. You know, you do have expertise in this area that we should listen to, but I would feel more comfortable if we take a little bit of time, work on it, and get it right.
Thank you, members. With that, I'm going to move that we lay this amendment over, and we will have further discussion with some instruction that we will act on a written amendment to the amendment, I suppose, or a substitute amendment to the A55, and also concur with you, Chair Newman, that we would value Senator Howe's involvement in making sure that the language fits his interests here. So I want to thank Senator Howe for catching that, and thank our staff for working on it. And we'll get it right, and we'll adopt it at the appropriate time. So with that, members, the A55 is laid over or continued. We're now going to get to line 3, a Senate-only provision around pavement selection guidelines. This can be found in R143, Article 2, Section 40. I'll just say, I'll just preface this by thanking a number of the interested parties that have worked for many years on this issue. It's been at times contentious, and it seems to be that the interested parties in MnDOT are all in agreement on this provision, and I'm glad to see that. I will ask again our staff to walk us through this provision. And I'm not sure who would you do. Ms. Stengel.
I'll take this one, Mr. Chair, since it's a Senate-only provision.
Correct.
So this is sort of a twofold piece here. The Commissioner of Transportation is required to develop a pavement investment guide, and then the Commissioner is required to review and approve the pavement selections made by each of the district offices to make sure that the pavement selections that the district office makes is consistent with the Commissioner's plan. And then it goes on to clarify that this section allows the does not allow the commissioner to alter projects selected by the district office unless it's related to the type of pavement.
Thank you, Ms. Stengel. Are there questions to the provision? Is there a motion to approve it, first of all?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Cagle moves the R-143, Senate Section 2, Article 2, Section 40 motion or provision. Is there discussion? Okay, seeing none, then all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the motion prevails. The article is adopted. Okay, we go now to a House provision that the Senate is amending, or amendment that comes from the Senate side on A41. This relates to rulemaking authority as it pertains to the Department of Public Safety and broadening administrative rules on driver's license medical statements for various medical conditions. Mr. Burris, did you want to go over this? Or I don't know, Ms. Stengel, again, it's a Senate amendment, but to a House provision. I want to make sure I have the right staffer addressing this one.
Mr. Chair, I can kick it off here. This is a it's a House-only provision, as you stated, House Section 102, and this is a directive to the Department of Public Safety to commence rulemaking to revise the list of medical providers that can submit some medical statements related to driver's licensing. And then there is an A41 amendment that would modify one aspect of this that would clarify the scope of authority to utilize the expedited rulemaking process, which is authorized in the House-only language, and further clarified and the limitations are clarified in the A41 Senate amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Burris. And just to clarify, unlike the previous motion, that we're doing this for the first time. So we're going to adopt the amendment first and then the main provision. So is there a motion to adopt well, first of all, let's move the amendment as well. Is there a motion to adopt the A41 amendment?
Senator Howe moves. The A41.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Howe. And then Senator Howe, and then you'll move the main amendment as well, or the main provision as well?
Sure.
Okay. So let's then discuss the A41 amendment. Members, any comments or questions on that?
Mr. Chairman?
Chair Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The 841 amendment simply restricts the ability of the commissioner to make rulemaking outside of the House provision that I presume we will be adopting. The House provision is really pretty narrow, and I would feel much more comfortable if we have language that restricts the rulemaking authority to only the House provision as we will be adopting it. So it's general rulemaking authority is something that I have long been uncomfortable with. So this amendment simply restricts that rulemaking authority to the House provision.
Thank you, Chair Newman. And I would support that amendment as well. Is there any discussion to the A41? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. The motion prevails. Thank you, Chair Newman. And now to the main Howe motion. Again, pretty straightforward on this provision, but if there's any questions or discussion, we can.
Mr. Chair.
That. Senator Howe.
Is there a reason why we're using expedited rulemaking? Is there does there seem to be some reason this has got to be expedited as instead of just the regular rulemaking provision? Because expedited always reduces the number of comments you need, or it expands the number of comments you need to go to. I guess I'm just questioning because it affects the number of comments you need and the process. It makes it a little quicker. So I was just wondering if there's a reason why we're doing that or if we can just leave it as to a regular process.
Thank you, Senator Howe. We could either have staff or even the Department of Public Safety perhaps respond to that. Mr. Burris, what would your suggestion be?
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure if the department might have some comments on it. I might note that the expedited process is requires a specific authorization by law and is often used when there is a very more kind of specific or narrow aspects to what is being changed. So in this case, it would be, adding a couple. It's not a general, review and come up with new policies. It's narrower in scope to add a couple of types of medical providers. The general underlying intent that often goes along with expedited rulemaking is reducing the overall cost and time of adoption when the specific goals of the rulemaking are laid out and clear. I don't know if the department might have further comments on it.
Thought that was a helpful explanation. I don't know, Senator Howe, did you want any? I think we even narrowed it further with the A41 amendment. So.
No, Mr. Chair, I'm good. I just was just wondering if there was a specific reason why we did it, and I think Mr. Burris's explanation is pretty good.
Okay, thank you, Senator Howe, and thank you for the question too. Okay, members, so we're back now to the main motion here. Is there further discussion? Okay, seeing none, then all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, the motion prevails and the item is adopted. We're now on line five, a Senate-only provision, and we also have an amendment to this. It is the A42, so if you're following along, this is our reference R173, Article 2, Section 66. Ms. Stengel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a report that required of MnDOT, the Department of Revenue and Management and Budget, to submit a report to the legislature on a variety of revenues and expenditures. And you'll see in the attached amendment, which is the A42, this is sort of a delete all amendment that incorporates some of the suggestions from MnDOT. And as you can see, it talks about revenue sources, the various formulas, some data about the number of lane miles and those sorts of things. And that'll be reported back to the legislature early in 2022.
Thank you, Ms. Stengel. Are there any questions? And then we'll ask for someone to move the A42 amendment. Okay, I don't see any hands up. Is there a motion to adopt the A42?
Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Newman.
I would move the A42 amendment.
Okay. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption of the A42 amendment signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, the motion prevails. And now we're back to the main motion. Again, we are on the transportation revenue and expenditures report. Discussion, members.
Mr. Chair,
Ms. Sengel, yes.
With the adoption of the A66 amendment, there's no need to adopt the underlying provision. The amendment sort of covers it all.
Oh, that's right. That's right, Ms. Sengel. You mentioned it as a delete all. So, and that is the A42 amendment, and it is, we have now adopted Article 2, Senate Article 2, Section 66. So no further action required. Thank you, Ms. Sengel. So members, now we're down to item 6, and this is this came to my attention recently. It is a this is one of these technical amendments, and what we're trying to do is ensure that we are conforming to a technical change in House and Senate language on crash reports. It's a repealer. So I'll have Mr. Burris discuss this with us. Again, this is in the category of a provision that we have already adopted. That's kind of the theme for today, doing some cleanup work. And so this was both in the House and Senate. So it is reference 180 on the House side. It is found in Article 6, Section 207A. And it is Article 3, Section 85A in the Senate. Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair and members, so as you stated, there is a repealer that the conference committee had previously adopted, which would remove a requirement that motorists in some circumstances directly submit a crash report. So that repeals a subdivision on crashes and accidents. The A66 amendment would make a technical change to conform with that repeal by eliminating a cross-reference into that subdivision that is no longer necessary because the subdivision is being repealed. So the substance of the A66 amendment can be found on page 1, line 19 of that amendment. It is striking the reference to the subdivision that is being eliminated. So that's what makes it a conforming change. It's to go along with the repealer.
Thank you, members. So are there questions? And then I'll entertain a motion to adopt. Is this one where we adopt? Is this another one, Mr. Burris, where we adopt the amendment and we're done? Or I think we've already approved that.
Mr. Chair, yes. The adoption of the amendment would be the only action that would be needed on this.
Okay. Excellent, members. Do we have a motion to adopt the A66.
Chair, I would make a motion to adopt the A66 amendment.
Okay, sorry. Thank you, Senator Jasinski. Is there a discussion to the Jasinski motion? Okay, members, then we'll proceed to a vote here on the Jasinski motion to adopt the line 6 R180 provision. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All of those opposed, the motion prevails. Members, with that, we are have concluded our business in terms of adopting items. I was made aware over the weekend that I think we're one of two committees now that is in the lead in terms of adopting provisions. So I appreciate all of the work that our committee has done. There's a lot more to do, a lot more provisions to adopt. And make some concluding comments, but I wanted to hand it over to Senator Newman, to Chair Newman, who will give us a preview of the next couple of days. Chair Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. We have reached a point where we've got a few more amendments on some policy issues that we can consider. But in discussions between Chair Hornstein and myself, we need a little bit of time to work those matters out. We do not yet have our targets, of course. So it would be my intention not to call a conference committee hearing tomorrow, simply because we just aren't quite ready yet. Having said that, Chairman Hornstein and I do intend to get together tomorrow in the afternoon, and we will be discussing or begin to discuss both the policy items that we have got some outstanding amendments on, plus we're going to be able or begin addressing some of the more difficult issues so that we can come back to the committee with kind of a general outline of where we are headed, awaiting our targets. So I don't know whether Chair Hornstein intends to call a committee hearing on Wednesday or not. I think it sort of depends on what kind of progress we make tomorrow afternoon. But as of tomorrow, there will not be a conference committee hearing. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you so much, Chair Newman. And you've, I think, summarized very clearly and accurately our conversations over these last couple of days. And again, we're starting to roll up our sleeves now and get into some of the other issues that await us. And again, no meeting tomorrow. We obviously will advise you about Wednesday. And of course, Wednesday we'll be looking at other areas that we've have agreement on or that might require additional discussion or even testimony from the public. But we'll make that determination when we get there. But again, we will not be meeting at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, but rest assured that Chair Newman and I are continuing discussions. And of course, we are available to all of you if you have any questions or ideas or suggestions. So with no further business before the Conference Committee for House File 1684, we are adjourned.